I want to talk this morning about how to fight and win spiritual battles. And I'll start in 1 John chapter 2. It says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I want you to notice three categories of believers he's addressing in the church here. Children, young men, and fathers. And, you know, it's not about gender. It's children as boys and girls, young men as young men and women, so to speak, in the spirit. And then fathers and mothers, you know, you can call it either way. And he says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And I write to you, and he says, goes back to the children here. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And then he says again, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So really he's addressing three types of believers that are within the church. And when it's not talking about age, it has nothing to do with age. It has to do about maturity, right? Spiritual maturity. How many of you know when we're born again, we're children of God, like instantly, right? We believe that Jesus, he died on the cross and that our sins are forgiven. And he says to us, if you will turn away from your sin and make me the Lord of your life and follow me, I will forgive you and I'll adopt you. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us and we're like, God loves me. My sins are forgiven. And, you know, those little children, we love them, right? Those newbies, you know, they come into the kingdom and they're tasting the goodness of God for the first time in their entire life. And they're just like, I love Jesus. He's awesome. He's wonderful. And they're just boasting in the Lord and they're just loving this new life. And my sins are forgiven. God is my Father. And how many of you, we cherish children? Isn't that right? Even in the natural, you know, that new baby's born. And it's like, oh, praise the Lord, it's a little baby. You know, it's amazing. There's just such a beauty. That child is fully loved immediately. Isn't that true? And a child hasn't done anything yet to earn love. Except, you know, it keeps its parents up at night. Makes messes. And usually they don't even smile that much when they're first born. You know, they're just there. But they're like super cute and they're absolutely adored and they have the love of the parents. Isn't that true? They're absolutely cherished. And it is with those of you when you're born, when we're born again into the kingdom of God, we're loved by the Father. We're loved by our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Everybody's celebrating us and, you know, we're cherished. Our sins are forgiven. It's wonderful. Amen. And then he goes on and he talks about young men. And I'm going to focus on the young men today. And young men is it's not long after we're born again, very soon usually, after we're born again, God allows us to start fighting our first spiritual battles. And here's why. Children are cherished, but your destiny is not to be a child forever, maturity speaking. You're always a child of God. But maturity-wise, you have a destiny, and this is what it is. Jesus is returning, and he's going to rule nations, literal nations. And you are the one who are going to help him run his government. You are literally royalty. He is an actual king over all the other kings. And he's going to have those who are ruling with him, and that is us. And he's like, your destiny is to become mature, is to become someone who knows how to fight and win spiritual battles. Amen? A little child doesn't know that. A little child is totally defenseless. They're completely covered by their parents. But I know, like, this with my kids. It's like, you know, when they're really little, you know, we protect them and we watch over them. We do all that stuff. And of course, we always do that. We always had that heart as parents and we're always protecting them. But, you know, as they get older, we can't fight all their battles for them. All of a sudden, they come into battles, and what we do is some of them, we shield them from as much as we can, but some of them, you can't. It's like, you know something? This is a spiritual battle for you that only you can win, and our role at that point is to equip them. Here's how you fight and win this battle. I've dealt with this one before, and here's what I learned. That's why it's so valuable to have a parent that is walking with God, that has a history with the Lord, that we faced our battles and learned how to use the weapons of God to win them. So then we can train our children. And we said, this is how you deal with this one. And we teach them how to do it. And the Father does that with us. We face our first spiritual battles. You're going to be in spiritual battles for the rest of your life. And our spiritual battles, we fight demons, literal demons. And we know Ephesians 6 says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and, you know, demonic spirits is what it is. That is who we're battling against. But we also, not only do we fight demons, we fight our own carnal nature. We fight our own flesh. We have to dethrone self from the throne of our life over and over again. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What does that mean? He's like, every single day, I have to make the choice again. Am I going to put self first or am I going to put Jesus first? And so I have to put myself down and exalt Jesus and do his will. And what happens is, as we talked about this last week, the devil doesn't, he's used to controlling you. Your flesh, your carnal nature is used to ruling and controlling your life. And when you take control back and you submit it to Jesus, your flesh is kicking and screaming. The demons that are used to manipulating you so effortlessly, they're like, no, I'm not going down without a fight. I'm going to come at you. That's why oftentimes when you fast, expect a spiritual battle. You're picking a fight when you fast. This isn't just a spontaneous attack. That happens. We're just going on our way serving the Lord, and all of a sudden the devil attacks. You know, that happens. But when you choose to fast, you're initiating. You're throwing the first punch, and it's a good thing. You're saying, devil, I am taking the ground that you've occupied, and I'm devoting it to Jesus. I'm not waiting for you to give it up. I'm not waiting for you to give me an excuse to fight this battle. Jesus is Lord, and he deserves all of my heart, all of my affection. Everything that I am, I'm devoting to him. I am throwing the first punch. I'm taking this ground, and I'm giving it to Jesus. I command you to go. And you know what ends up happening? We're like those cherished children. We're always the cherished children in the kingdom. We never outgrow that in the eyes of the Father. But he's like, I want you to become fruitful fathers or mothers, and we can say it either way you want. Fruitful fathers who have won countless spiritual battles. This is what I want to be. I want to be a seasoned warrior. I want to be Aragorn. Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? Anyway, he's humble. He's a powerful fighter. He's really good. But good leader. Anyway. But I want to be a father who's fought tons, countless spiritual battles and won. But I have story after story after story of victories of God is real, and here's how his power came bursting into my life, destroying the works of the devil and enabling me to really live. I want to take ground for God. I want to take ground first in my own heart for the Lord. And then I want to take ground not only in my own life, I want to take ground in the cities, in families, in people. I want to go lead somebody to Jesus, teach them how to beat the devil and walk with the Lord so that Jesus gets that ground too. And I just want to do that. I want to be a fruitful father in the faith. That's who I want to become. And that is who God wants all of us to become. That needs to be your vision for your life. We have to think long term. We have to have long-term vision because Jesus sees your life not just in the moment. He sees the whole picture. He's not even looking at your 170, whatever it is, years that you're living. He's looking at eternity. You're going to live for billions and billions and billions forever. And that's what he's looking at. And he's like, you're in training for reigning. And I want to have his vision for my life where I love being a child. I never outgrow being a child. Just this morning in worship, I do this often, but just this morning, I'm just reminding myself, I'm like, I'm a little boy. That's who I am. You know, I got chubby cheeks and fat legs, chubby little belly. My father just swinging me in the air, just delighting in me. I mean, that's who I am. You see what I'm saying? But listen, I don't want to be that to the devil. The devil looks at me, I want to look. Or he's like, whoa, I'm staying away from you. It doesn't matter. I'm throwing the first punch. I'm coming after you. How many of you know it's time to go on offense? Amen? Just quit living in defense. We want to go on offense. I'm taking ground. Anyway, I want to be a father in the kingdom who mentors many, many sons and daughters in the faith who become fathers and mothers themselves that have won their spiritual battles and mentored many other sons and daughters in the faith. Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to stand in heaven and have the parade go by, person after person the Lord brings and says, thank you for bringing me Jesus. Thank you for teaching me how to pray. Thank you for teaching me how to overcome this stronghold and this addiction, this sin in my life. Thank you for being there for me when I was broken and encouraging me when I didn't feel hope. Thank you for leading me to Jesus, one of the best feelings in the whole world. And I want to do this. I don't want to just have that introductory understanding of the Father's love like that little child has. Their understanding isn't really deep. It's like they're loved. But you know, the fathers in the faith, I love that. It says, you have known him who was from the beginning. It's like there is a depth now. There is a serious depth to your knowledge and your understanding of who he is and his love for you. And his love for people. How do you get that depth? Here's what happens. When you're a child, you understand these elementary truths. And you're like, goo goo, God, you know, daddy loves me. And it's good. But then what happens is, those truths, the validity of them, are challenged. They're tested in your life. There's circumstances that come up. And the accuser comes and says, he doesn't love you anymore, you sinned. He doesn't love you anymore because you're struggling. He doesn't love you anymore because of on and on and on. You're ugly. You're this. You're whatever it is. And the accusations come, and now you're being tested, and you have a choice to make. Your emotions are saying, he doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. But the word still says he does. There's a conflict within me, and I have to choose, not based upon my emotions. My emotions cannot rule me. The word has to rule me. So I choose, you know what? I don't feel like it, but like it's true, but I believe it is. Thank you that you love me. And that everything that's against that right now inside, accusing that, is a lie. And you choose to walk that out even when you don't feel it. And then you walk that out, and then the emotional breakthrough it comes eventually. But not always immediately. Emotions are like the caboose on a train. They're not meant to play the lead role. But they always come around. They'll get there eventually if you lead your heart in truth to walk according to the word of God. And these young men, these are guys who, they got some victories under their belt. They start out, they're happy in the faith, and all of a sudden they start going through their wars. They start going through their battles. The goodness of God, the character of God is being challenged and accused, and they choose to believe the word instead of the devil. And they choose to obey. They're being tempted with sin. Maybe they stumble in sin, and they're tempted to just justify it and go on, or give up altogether. But instead, they rally themselves, and they're like, no, I was wrong. And they confess their sins, and they say, I repent. And they war against it, and they go after it to overcome it. And the father's like, that's it. Keep going. I'm going to help you. I'm teaching you how to fight. And you know what that is? It's part of the growth process. Fighting and winning spiritual battles is intentional, the Lord allows us. Look at Judges. I love this scripture in Judges. Israel, he leads Israel out of Egypt. They're slaves in Egypt, right? God does all kinds of amazing miracles, like parting the Red Sea. I mean, it's a big deal, you know, and all kinds of other things to get them out of it. He wipes out one of the most powerful armies on the face of the earth at the time to rescue his people that were slaves. They weren't even very trained in warfare. They'd been slaves. They didn't have this, like, good, you know, an army that is well-formed and focused and trained, because they'd been slaves for 400 years, but God, the Father's like, don't worry, guys, just step on my back. I'm carrying you through. And he takes it from there, and they just had to keep in step with him and do what he said to do. But then they get to this place, and it's 40 years later, and they've been going through some testing in the wilderness. They've been going through some training, and there's a generation now who is ready to take the land and occupying the promised land that God said he would give them. And they go in and they take Jericho and they start taking chunks of land and devoting it to the Lord. Chunks of land and devoting it to the Lord. But there were still some pieces of real estate that Jesus said, it's yours, I'm giving it to you. But he didn't drive out the enemies from it. God didn't just drive them out. And here's what it says. The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once. Everybody say, at once. Okay, he's going to drive them out, but he didn't just do it for them right at the beginning. And it says, by giving them into the hands of Joshua, these are the nations, listen to this, the Lord left, why? Yes. To test the Israelites. Why did he want to test them? Because they had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. He's like, you guys need to learn how to fight. If I destroy all your enemies, you're never going to learn how to fight. And I got to teach you how to fight. And I'm going to be with you. This is the cool thing about the Father teaching us how to fight. He has all power. He protects us really, really well. And he's standing right there, hovering over, watching the battle. And if it ever gets too great, where we're in over our head, he comes in and he rescues us. But sometimes we think we're in over our head, and he knows that we're not yet. We have weapons he's given to us that we've not really used before, and so we think, I can't fight this battle. He's like, yes, you can. There's a sword in your sheath. It's right over here. Grab that one and swing it. No, I can't do it. I have nothing that would beat an enemy like this. He's like, you're okay, and we're getting hit. He's like, take that sword and use it. Here's the verse. Lord, it doesn't work. I don't feel like it. He's like, use the sword. Finally, we use it. It works. Wow. It worked. Lord heals us up. But you know what happens? Next time that enemy comes, we know what sword to use. What is the Bible called in the Bible? Sword of the Spirit. It says this. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, all of it, 100% of it, is inspired by God, and it is useful. Just stop right there before I read the rest. It's useful. You know what that means? It needs to be used. The word of God is meant to be used. It's not meant just to read. It's not meant just to say I know and win Bible trivia quizzes. It's meant to be used. Can you imagine a warrior that is given this super powerful sword and it's sitting in his sheath and the enemy comes as beaten on him and he just sits there and takes it? And, you know, his commander of the army is like, dude, take out your sword and use it. It's meant to be used. It's very useful. It says, it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. There is a right, there is a wrong, and God, Holy Spirit tells us in his word. A lot of times new believers, they get born again, and they have enough right ideas about God and Jesus to be saved, to be born again. But some of the other things in life, they still are thinking the way they've always learned in the world, and they've not been retrained to think according to the truth and the Word of God. What's right and wrong? You guys with me? Does that make sense? Okay? And we have to, you know, we're learning. We're always learning. And reading the Word, it teaches us the difference between right and wrong. Also says it straightens us out and teaches us to do. Everybody say to do. To do what is right. Verse 17, it is God's way of preparing us. You see why we're eating the Word? I don't want to just eat the Word for a month. I want to eat the Word all the time. Yeah, the other day I was discipling my son. We go out on Fridays and we do discipleship together, and we really do discipleship all the time because he's such a man of God. He's always talking about the Lord and stuff. But we were doing discipleship. I remember we were reading this verse. I think it was in Mark 16. Go and preach the gospel. I remember reading it, and it's just my heart was so tenderized to it. How much I love this verse, because just reading the verse made me want to go preach the gospel to lost people. I love that. I love that. You know why I love that? Because way back in my early days, 20-something years ago, I heard that and I read it. And I'm like, this is good. I want to do this. But you know what? I started doing it. And now I've been doing it for 20-something years. And I've seen it work. And I'm like, I don't just do it anymore because I like the idea of, wow, wouldn't it be cool if it worked? I've done it probably thousands of times, and I've seen it work over and over and over and over and over again. And now when I read that verse, it's like a dear friend. And I read that verse, I'm like, oh, let's go, Holy Spirit, right now. Let's do this thing. Let's get that sword out one more time and set someone free. I was just feeling tender over that verse. I was like, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this verse. Thank you for making it real in my life. You know how it becomes that way? You start out and you're like, yeah, I love that verse. But then when you do it, when you make it's useful, when you use it, when you put it into practice, and then that's when you see it actually work. Now it's not just theory. You have your own stories of the Word working in your life, and it builds your faith, and it makes you strong. And the Lord looks at us, and he says, you're a young man now in the faith. You have overcome the evil one. You are strong now. You are strong, and here it is, and the Word of God lives in you. It's God's way of preparing us in every way. So we read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. Everybody needs to read the Bible for themselves. It's one of my greatest desires for the body of Christ. My heart breaks when I think about how many believers don't read the Bible for themselves. I mean, I can't imagine trying to successfully live for Jesus hearing a sermon a week. Because it's never designed to work that way. But get into the Word for yourself. Anyway, it's God's way of preparing us, fully equipped for every good thing that God wants us to do. So I'm going to just tell you a story. You know, let me just say this, and then I'll tell the story. I'll set my story up. There are some enemies in our lives that the Lord easily defeats for us when we get saved. How many of you have experienced that? You know, just certain things, fleshly lust and addictions. As soon as you get saved, you're free, like instantly. You don't even have to try that hard. It's just like, hey, praise God, I'm free. And, you know, we all have some of those that happen in our life. I mean, for me, literally within 30 minutes of my salvation, I'm like, I had these two new desires. I'm like, I just want to feel you like this always because I'm a child. The Father loves me and my sins are forgiven. I just want to feel you like this always. But I'm like, I want to please you. I'm like, what can I do for you? I'm excited. I'm like, let's go. I want to live for you. I want to go all the way with this thing. And he tells me one of the strangest things. He's like, I want you to quit cussing. Within like 30 minutes or so. I mean, that before I even left the service, I quit cussing. I was like, okay, I'll try. I don't know if I can, to be honest. Because I've been cussing since second grade. And I just do it so much. I mean, it's so natural. it's my native tongue almost, you know. And I'm just like, I've tried to quit before and I couldn't do it. But Lord, I'll give you my best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to do it. And I remember within like the first day or two, this was such an easy spiritual battle. He's like, I'll give you an easy one at first. So within, you know, the first day or two, I'd hear myself, you know, cuss type thing. And I'd be like, oh, I did it again. God, forgive me. And I'm so sorry. Help me not to do that anymore. And then within, you know, in that same time frame, another day or two goes by. And then I was not cussing, but I'd hear it in my mind and stop myself right before I say it. And I'd be like, oh, forgive me for thinking that. Thank you for not letting me say it, though. But don't let me even think that anymore. And then, to be honest, after a few days, I forgot. I forgot about it. And I wasn't even trying that hard because I couldn't. I just was just doing life and enjoying God. And about a week later, so I've been saved for a week or two, somewhere in there, I'm having a conversation with a friend. And we're not even talking about this, but out of the blue, they just bring this subject up. And they say, you know what, Jeff? I never hear you cuss anymore. And I'm just, my mouth hits the floor. I'm like, dude, you're right. I don't cuss anymore. I was like, yes, praise the Lord, man. He's real. He's powerful. He helped. I mean, it was a big deal for me, but it's a really easy victory. You know, the Father's like, I got this one. I'm going to totally help him out on this. Like, we're going to slaughter this thing, but I'm going to make him think it's him. And but it really worked, and my faith was built up. But there were other spiritual battles in my life that were a lot more difficult and a lot more prolonged. The battle was before I won. Like the battle I had versus condemnation. How many of you have ever battled condemnation? Well, it was a big battle for me. And you know why it was a big battle for me? Because I really, really, really cared about pleasing God. And it really, really, really bothered me when I fell short of doing what pleased him. I mean, it bothered me a lot. And I find that sometimes, a lot of times, people who deal with condemnation, it's because they have such a heart of worship, you know what I mean? That it really bothers them. And they have to learn to strengthen their faith in God's love and his forgiveness and how to recover quickly and do that. But anyway, I battled condemnation for years. I remember having conversations with the Lord. I'd be like, God, just take this thing away from me. I would sin against the Lord. And you would think it's little. Many times. I will. You would think it's little. And I would read, like the Lord just convicted my heart one time, you know, sports just was consuming me too much. So it's like, don't look at sports. And I would go months and months and months and not look at sports. Wouldn't even hardly think about it. But then in a weak moment, I'd be walking through the library on my college campus, and there's the sports section sitting on the table. Like, desire springs up. I wonder what. And I go over there, and I spend like 30 minutes reading the sports section. Then afterward, I'm like, oh, I sinned against the Lord. God, I compromised. I know I'm not supposed to do that. And it was true. It was wrong for me to do that because the Lord really put that in my heart. It was real. But what I do is because of that one sin, I would go like 3 weeks of being depressed. No joke. I mean, on and on and on. I'd be like, I'm such a loser. I compromise. I'm not living for the Lord with all my heart. I'm witnessing to my friends. I'm in Bible college. I'm studying the Word. I'm a youth pastor, actually, at the time, a lot of times. I mean, I love the Lord, but I didn't know how to just receive the forgiveness, confess my sins, receive forgiveness, and move forward. And I remember, like, God, can you just take this from me? My poor wife, having to be around me, you know, I'd read a sports section and she had to put up with me for like 3 weeks of being depressed, just being like, I'm just a loser. She's like, I'm going to go to this revival service. I'm like, I don't know if I should go. I'm just a loser. And there'd be times she'd be like, I'm going and you need to go. And I'd be like, you're right, I'll go. And I'd be depressed. Worship would be going on and I couldn't worship. Because I'm not even worthy to worship. And I just sit there like a dog with my tail between my legs, just like, I'm a loser. Like, that glorifies the Lord, doesn't it? Lord, you know it and I know it. I'm a loser. I would do that for the whole worship service, the whole sermon. I'd just do it, you know? And but then I remember one day in particular, I would pray. I'm like, God, can you just take this away? Because I knew it was condemnation, but I just couldn't break out of it. I'd get into the funk, and I couldn't get myself out of the hole. And I was like, God, help me out. And I was like, isn't there like a magic red button I can push? I actually would think this, and I'd talk to the Lord about this. I'm like, why can't there be this big red button that says warning? If you punch this button, you will never have control of your life again. Jesus and the Holy Spirit will have full control of you for the rest of your life, and you can never get it back. I would hit that thing right away, no problem. Like, yes, yeah, freedom, right? I'm like, why can't you create a big button like that? That would be so awesome. But he's like, I won't do it. He's like, I want you to learn how to fight. I want you to learn daily to choose to believe the word instead of your emotions and be led by the Spirit instead of your flesh. And so one day I'm fasting. The Lord's stirring my heart. So we're fasting now. This is a good story. I'm fasting and I'm like, I'm going to be on fire for God. And I saw this guy and he's like in Mexico and he raises the dead. Like they'd raise like 200 people from the dead, the church planting all over these unreached people groups, and they're just destroying devils all over the place. And I'm like, that's my dream. I love this man. And he's like, and I fast every other day. And I'm like, oh, that's the key. I got to fast every other day. His wife literally would fast 2 out of every 3 days when they were home. And when they were traveling, they didn't do it quite the same schedule. But when they were home, that was a regular thing. And I'm like, that's it. I got to just go crazy on fasting. So I started fasting. And it was the Lord. It's stirring my heart to fast. And I remember one day I'm like, I'm going to fast. I'm going to raise the dead. And I make it till about 10 in the morning or so. And I get home and there's these saltine crackers on the counter. And I'm like, when you're fasting, whatever you're fasting looks amazing. And when you're not fasting it, it's not that big of a deal even. But when you're fasting, it looks like the most wonderfully satisfying thing in the world. If I could just eat dark chocolate, you know, like she's feeling this because that's what she's, whatever you're fasting, all of a sudden you'll love it more than anything, it seems like. And I'm like, saltine crackers. And I was just like, I go over there on the counter and I, you know, eat one. But it seems like for me, whenever I break a fast, like compromising my fast, I don't just eat one or two crackers and like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm like, how? You know, it's just like lose control. Why did I just eat a whole pack of saltine? And I ate a whole bunch of saltine crackers, and then all of a sudden, here comes the condemnation. Hello, loser. David Hogan fasts every other day of his life, and you can't make it past 10 in the morning because of a saltine cracker. You're so pathetic. Your self-control is so terrible. You'll never take nations for the Lord. And literally, this is stuff going through my mind. I'm like, it's true. It's totally true. And it was my prayer time. So trying to pray under that kind of condemnation is very difficult. And I try to pray a little bit. But all I could think of was, I'm sorry, I'm a loser, I know. And then I just gave up. After a few minutes of trying, I was like, I'm done trying, I'm such a loser. It's a hopeless cause. And I literally fell on the floor in my living room, on the carpet, and I just laid there. I wasn't prostrate before the Lord. I wasn't praying. I was done praying. I'm like, I'm not praying. I'm just laying here, and I'm going to pout, and I'm going to be depressed, and I'm going to be pitiful. And as I'm laying there being pitiful, totally given up, I imagine the Lord looking at me being like, oh, I love him so much. He's so cute and he's so weak in some areas, but his heart is so good. Like he really cares about me. I'm going to throw him a bone here. I'm going to help him out a little bit. And while I'm laying there given up, all of a sudden I have a vision. And in this vision, I was a youth pastor at the time. In this vision, I see myself and I'm preaching to my youth group about spiritual warfare. And I'm like holding up a sword. I'm like, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And the word of God is not meant to be just sit on my mantle. It's meant to be used. It's the sword of the Spirit. And then I said this as I was watching myself preach. I see myself in this vision say to my youth group, I'm like, I don't want a clean, shiny sword. I want my sword to be dripping with demon blood because I've been using it. And as soon as I said that, as I watched it, I was like, oh, that is awesome. I was like, that is so powerful. I was like amening myself. And I was like, that's so good. You know, yeah. And it just kind of stirred me up again. And then all of a sudden the vision ends And 1 John 1:9 just pops into my mind from the Holy Spirit. And it says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And as soon as that verse pops into my mind, I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, he says, now there's your sword. Now get up and swing it. So I got up off the ground and I took 1 John 1:9 out of my sheath and I started speaking it out loud. Lord, I thank you that I just confessed my sin of breaking my fast to you. I confess it to you and I thank you that my sins are forgiven and I am as righteous, I am purified from all the unrighteousness associated with it. And I thank you. And then other verses started coming. Because if you get one sword out, you find out you got a whole arsenal in there. The Holy Spirit says, try this one. And I pull out the next one. I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that when I stand before you and you look at me, I am as clean and as righteous in your sight as Jesus himself because I'm covered by his blood. And I started saying that and I started getting really happy. I started getting really confident. And the depression just vanished away. And you know what ended up happening? I'm dancing around my living room. I'm shouting to the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord, that I am free. Thank you that you're making me strong in the Lord and just all these declarations. And you know what? I won a spiritual battle. You know what was happening? The Lord's like, I could hit that magic red button. But what I want to teach you to do is I want to hand you these tools. I want to hand you these verses, these passages, these truths from the Bible. I want to teach you how to swing them. Why? Because now I'm teaching all of you how to fight and win your spiritual battles because I've learned from the Father. And you know what ends up happening? We become young men. And young men, they start winning their battles. And then when you start training others from your experience, what you've learned, how to win spiritual battles, you start becoming a father. So guess what? It's good when you're in spiritual battles. James is like, hey guys, you know what? You need to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because the testing of your faith, it produces perseverance. What's perseverance? You know what happens when you swing the sword the first time and you still feel depressed? You swing it again till you hit the head and cut the thing off. And you swing it, and you swing it, and you swing it, and you swing it, and you believe it, and you confess it, and you choose to live by it instead of your emotions or instead of according to the temptation that you're feeling, you do what is right. Sometimes in the middle of a spiritual battle, you feel awful. Even when you're winning, you can feel awful. Have you ever been there where you're tempted to sin? And you feel being bombarded with these emotions of bitterness and unforgiveness, and you're fighting against them. You're not giving into them. And sometimes that can go on for a day, you know, or longer, and you're resisting and you're resisting and you're resisting, and it doesn't feel good to be in the midst of a conflict. The devil does punch and it hurts, right? But even when you're not sinning, you're doing right. You're resisting. You're holding up the word of God. You're standing on the word of God. Even when you're doing right, sometimes in the middle of it, you don't feel very good. It's like, I hate this. But if you persevere, persevere is you just keep doing what is right until breakthrough happens. And then all of a sudden when breakthrough comes, boom, you get things like this. I'm going to give you a promotion because you are building an altar to me in the darkness. James, like, testing of your faith, it produces perseverance in you. You have to work that muscle. It's like weightlifting. You work it, you work it. You know, if I go right now to the gym and I bench press today, I'll feel sore tomorrow. I won't be that much stronger, though. But if I do that regularly for a year, I'll have really big pecs, and it'd be awesome. Perseverance is how you gain strength. And he says, you must persevere. It teaches us to persevere. Why? James says, so that you will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And James, I want to just give you James chapter 4, verse 7. Just a couple keys here about how to fight and win spiritual battles. You guys doing okay? Here's a key. I'm handing you a couple swords right now. When you're in a spiritual battle, this is what you need to know. What do? You submit yourself to God. I'm confused. My heart's pulling me. I want to look at this pornographic thing. I want to give into this lustful thought. I want to tell this lie. I want to whatever it is. Just cave in, be depressed, and watch the movie and eat my chocolate. Persevere in obeying, even if it feels awful. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. Can I tell you something? How do you resist the devil? I could tell you a lot of things, but the most basic thing, most important thing you need to know is this. By doing part one, you are doing part two. When you are submitting to God, that is the same act of submission to God is an act of resisting the devil. Because one, it's a competition for lordship of your life. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. And when you choose to obey Jesus, you're resisting, submitting, and yielding to the suggestions of the enemy or temptations of the enemy. You following me? And he says, you just persevere. Just keep doing that. Just keep submitting to Jesus, resisting the devil, and this is what is inevitable, and the devil will flee from you. Like a puppy running with its tail between its legs, getting away from us as fast as he can, with us chasing him with a sword. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But see, here's the deal. When your faith is being tested, this is what it looks like. You do right, you're tempted, and you submit to God. You resist the temptation. You're resisting the devil. You're doing good. But you don't feel the delight in it sometimes right away. And so the temptation is to give up, stop submitting to God, and instead submit to the devil, or that's what happens when you yield to his suggestions. And then you're resisting the Lord. You don't want him to flee. You just persevere. You keep doing the right thing. This is one of the basic things that you learn in a spiritual battle that over the years that I've learned is perseverance really matters. The emotions, they're just so finicky. They're so unreliable. And I've learned, one of the things the Lord's taught me over the years is, and I still get tested in this, but I have learned this, is in the midst of a spiritual battle, don't be so consumed with how you feel. Just at the end of the day, did I do right? So yeah, on many Wednesdays now, it's my fast day. Many Wednesdays, here I go. I'm picking a fight again. And to be honest, I don't really look forward to Wednesdays. I don't often look forward to my fast day every week. Because I just know, I'm like, please help me, God. Let today be a fun fast day, because sometimes that happens. Let it be one of those days where I'm not consumed by hunger pains. Let it be one of those days where I actually enjoy my time in the Word. But most of the times, my fast days, I feel carnal and my flesh is kicking and screaming. And I'm like, I've learned that just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And my goal is, help me not to sin today. Help me to get to the end of my fast and have been faithful. And if I get to the end and I can look back and say, well, today was a hard day, but you know what? I obeyed. Today was a win. Glory to God. And usually Thursdays is awesome. Fridays is always awesome, almost. Just don't worry about it. Just go. You know what they teach pilots, airline pilots? It's essential that an airline pilot learns how to fly by trusting in his instruments. Because when it's a clear, sunny day and the conditions are perfect, you know, he can fly by sight. But when you're in a storm and you can't see 10 feet in front of the plane, you have to completely rely on what that computer's telling you and trust it and go with what it's saying. You can't just, you know, you could have this feeling like, oh, I don't know if we're going the right direction. I don't know. Like, is this going to be okay? It's like, you know, it says we're pointing in the right direction. Everything's, I'm just going to stay steady and trust this thing. And we have to learn how to trust in the Word of God. We have to learn how to trust in the Word of God. And when you're, everything's happy and it's like, God loves me. You have that power encounter with the Lord. You just got filled with the Holy Spirit. All your circumstances are nice. I like those times. Those are my favorite, I'll be honest. It's easy to just say, glory to God. Isn't he good? You know, and just give thanks to the Lord. And that's right. But what about when there's storms on the inside of you? What about when there's storms all about you and everything's not going that well? What do? You better know that word and just have your eyes locked on that panel and say, I'm going to trust what the word says. Submit to God. Just keep submitting. Just keep submitting. Just keep submitting. And then eventually, there is an end to the storm. There is a point. All of a sudden, you pop out from the clouds and the skies are sunny again. You're like, look, there's my destination. I'm right where I need to be. I'm farther along than when I first entered the storm. We've got to stick it through, stick it through, stick it through. Stay steady. Don't be discouraged. None of us do this well when we start, usually. Hopefully, you're the exception. But most people don't. We have to learn this. How do you learn it? He'll let you go through more battles. You'll be in him for the rest of your life. But can I tell you this? You'll get better at fighting him. You'll get better at fighting him. And the good thing is everything in your life is Father filtered. The Father's right there. It says he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will only allow you to enter into spiritual battles that he knows you're strong enough to win. And he'll shield you from the other ones. Sometimes we get in the battle and you're like, hey, I don't think that verse is true right now, God. I think you let me into a battle. I'm in over my head. He's like, no, I know you better than you. You have more than you think. And I let you into this battle so you could discover it. And again, you just look at the instrument panel. You trust the word. He said he wouldn't let me be in over my head. I trust that somehow I'm going to win. Ephesians 4. You were taught, he's talking to new believers in the city of Ephesus. He's like, guys, this is what I trained you. This is how I taught you to live. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. He's talking about your sins, living in the flesh. He says, I taught you, put off your old self. And he describes, this is what your old self is like. It's being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You have desires. Something looks so good. You know, Israel gets out of Egypt. They were slaves back in Egypt, but they get out in testing land, and all of a sudden they have these desires like, remember when you were in Egypt, how awesome it was, and we were feasting. Like, what? You were slaves. You were totally taken advantage of. You were beaten. You were just, what are you talking about? They had these desires that were deceitful. Man, it was better. We should go back. What are we doing out here? Let's go back to where we were. Moses is like, hey, wake up, man. You were slaves. Persevere in following the cloud. Persevere in following God. Trust that pillar of fire. He's taking you into the land. If you would quit going back to Egypt in your heart, we would have been there by now. Stay steady. Keep following. Just trust him. I know it's hard. I know you've been eating manna every day for a long, long time. But think about this. It's raining bread out of thin air on a daily basis. The miracles that are happening to you on a daily basis right now will be celebrated, and generations forever will stand in awe of those miracles. And you're experiencing them. You're in the midst of this. But all they could think about is old desires. Oh, if we could just go back. It's like it's deceitful desires. Put that stuff off. Don't go back to your sin. Don't go back to your alcohol. Don't go back to your whatever it is. Keep going. Persevere through to the other side. I love this story of a man who just says, there's a big river. And he says, it was really wide. He's like, I'm going to swim all the way across. And he starts going. He's doing good at first. And then he gets about halfway across the river, and the current's getting strong, and he starts getting scared, and he's like, and he turns around and starts going back to what's familiar. And there was somebody watching him who was standing on a bridge looking down, and the guy yells out from the bridge. He's like, "Don't quit now. It's just as far back as it is to the other side. Just persevere. You're halfway." But when you're the one in the river, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like, oh, it's safer. At least over here, I know what it feels like. And, you know, there's a familiarity with it. But Paul's like, put it off. God's taking you into glory. He's like, you were taught to put off the old self and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Change the way you think. It's a huge part of the sanctification process of becoming like Jesus, mature. It's like, I have to change the way I think. Trust the instrument panel. The word is correct, amen? And then he says, so you got to change the way you think and then put on the new self. No, you know, look at the language that he uses. It's like not automatic. Have you figured that out? It's not automatic. He's like, you have to take off the old self and put on the new self. What's the new self like? It's created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's like, I'm making you into something so beautiful. You're going to shine with the very beauty that God shines with. His very beauty is going to shine because he's living in you. And I'm breaking off the stuff that's covering the light so it can shine brighter, unhindered, not blocked out by self. Put on the new self. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. Make choices. Persevere in faith and obedience. You're fighting a battle, and in the midst of a battle, it's hard. I totally get that. You're fighting a battle, but my encouragement to you is, you know what the Lord's doing? He's training you to be a young man, and he's taking you into father and motherhood in the spirit. So just stick with it. Stay steady. Get help if you need to get help. Call in the backups. Call in reinforcements. You know, Jesse this week, there was one day this week, I get this text message. He's like, it's really hard today. I'm having a really hard day. I'm like, oh, dude, I get that. I totally know what that is. And I texted him a few scriptures, threw him a few swords. It's like, here, this worked for me in that situation. Try this one out. And you know what? It's a hard day. We made it. End of the day, he made it. So if you have to call in backups and get somebody to hand you a few weapons, do what you got to do. You know what I mean? But persevere in obedience and faith. And then I have to end. But let me say this. I want to say this illustration. And then one more verse. Amen. It's so good. It's really important. It's a sword that I think you need in your arsenal. So I was in church when I was married. Autumn and I have been married for a year or two, and I'm in Bible college. I'm in ministry. I'm in a church service, so I'm doing right. And I'm worshiping because that's worship time. And as I'm worshiping the Lord, all of a sudden, this lustful thought comes into my mind. And I resisted it. I did right. I'm still doing right. Because it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, yet was without sin. It's a sin when you yield to the temptation and you let that imagination play out in your mind. But I didn't. I was doing right. And it's in the worship time, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I don't know where it came from. Because it's not like I was looking at lustful stuff. I mean, all of a sudden, this thought comes, and I'm like, oh, I resist that. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I slaughtered it. And I was doing good, but then I was frustrated. I was like, that ticks me off. I'm in the middle of worship. And that devil brings that thought to me. But then the devil slips this thought into my mind. Only it was me thinking it. You know how the devil, when he speaks to you many times, he speaks in your voice. Because you don't recognize that it's him. If you did, you'd be able to identify it as a lie immediately and resist it. But he comes to your voice, and it seems right. And I remember this thought came into mind. I said, well, I guess I'm reaping what I sow. Because I've spent so many years giving in to lust and walking in lust. I mean, years pursuing it before I, you know, and then I got saved and I had to learn not to do that anymore. But I'm like, well, but, you know, I guess I'm always just going to have to struggle more than the average person with that kind of temptation because of my past. And it sounds noble, but it's a lie. The Holy Spirit was watching over that fight. He's like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, absolutely not. He says, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old you, all that's corrupted desires, is gone. And the new has come. You are a new creation. You're not going to have to suffer more than the average person in some area because you used to sin in that area a lot. Here's the deal. You're not dirty. The devil's dirty who's bringing that temptation your way. You're righteous. You're a new creation. You're the one fighting him off. You didn't used to fight him. You used to just say, thanks, friend. Let's do this together. And you dove into the sin. And now you're like, no, I'm not your friend anymore. Get out of here. I'm a friend of God. And you're a new creation. And I just want to empower you with that. That changed. That was life-changing for me. Well, I was like, man, you mean I can be as powerful at walking in purity as somebody who's never sinned in that way in their whole life? That's cool. Yeah, that's the grace of God. And last verse, 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. How do you get it? Through the knowledge of God in Jesus our Lord. Here's the key. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Let me tell you what you have. You have Jesus. You know Jesus. I'm going to tell you what you have. This is the truth. I don't care what temptation you're facing. I don't care how strong it feels. You have every single thing you need. The power of God. You have whatever you need. There is a sword for every temptation. And every one of them are in your arsenal. You just haven't learned to use them all yet. You have everything you need for life. How to do life in a way that pleases God. Just everyday situations in life. You have everything you need. When you get in a thing, what do I do with this in this situation? Holy Spirit. And then try this sword. Yes, thank you. Stand on it, do what it says, you win. You have everything you need for life and for godliness. To be godly and to live in a way that pleases the Lord, and you can do the will of God in every situation. Yeah, but I wish I would have used that sword because I sinned last night. And right now, I'm guilty. I got a sword for you. 1 John 1:9. Take it. Confess your sins before the Lord. Pick yourself up the ground, off the ground. Receive the mercy of God. Turn away from the sin. Keep moving forward. Because he who has began this good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. So, Father, I release this message, these truths from the scriptures, over myself again. It's so good for me to meditate on this. Lord, I release it over every person here and even who listens to it on the internet. Father, I pray that these things would be branded in our hearts permanently. Father, that we would become efficient and excellent at using the weapons of our warfare, at standing and living on the scriptures, and overcoming the evil one. God, I pray for grace right now for those who have sinned, that right now they just receive forgiveness, they repent, and start doing it right from this point forward. Hit delete and start over and keep moving forward. And I just feel that in my heart, actually. I want to just encourage you in that. What do you do when you sin? I'm going to tell you this. You can't change. You can't undo what you've done. What's done is done. So what do you do? You come to him, you say, I've sinned against you. I'm not okay with it. Forgive me. He washes you, and now you're clean. So what are you going to do now? Lord, one step at a time, let's move forward. And I'm going to start doing what he says now. Say, yeah, but I've lost weeks of my life doing that dumb thing. Well, don't lose weeks more. Start over, keep moving forward, and trust the Lord. Trust the Lord to make it up to you. He is a redeemer, and he restores. You just have to pick yourself up, keep moving forward. Amen? That's part of learning how to be strong in the Lord. So, in Jesus' name, amen.